The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Coming up on today's show on Columbia Calling with your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, I get to speak to two English gentlemen now living in the city of Bucaramanga in Santander, a wonderful intermediary city with everything going on, extreme sports. But these guys, they've set up a foundation for more humble people in the town. These guys are, you know, doing what they set out to do. They're running a hostel, but alongside, they've got this foundation called Goles por la Paz, and their guests are allowed to volunteer with them. So this is two people contributing to Colombian society, as you know. So that's coming up in today's. We talk to them about their lives in Colombia, why they came and lived here, and also we'll be addressing some of the issues that have taken place in Colombia this last week. Most importantly, the Paro Agrario Nacional, the Paro Nacional Agrario, the strikes on behalf of farmers. 60% of the country's workforce are farmers, and there's been big unrest around this. So what is the government of Juan Manuel Santos going to do now? So not to be missed, Columbia Calling this afternoon with your host Richard McCall in Bogota. Thank you.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
Just finished school? Newly retired? Looking for a change? Get certified to teach English and move abroad like thousands do every year. Global TESOL College comes to Costa Rica, the global organization that trains and certifies more ESL instructors than any other organization of its kind. For the past 15 years, we've trained and certified over 40,000 graduates in the field of TESOL. Live the dream of staying and studying at the beach. You will be living at one of our beautifully centrally located accommodation options in Jaco Beach on Costa Rica's Pacific coast. With a school, beach, and great restaurants all within walking distance, in a safe community with all the convenience of back home, discover why so many choose to earn their teaching certificate in Jaco Beach, Costa Rica. Visit us today for more information at www.globaltesolcostarica.com. That's global TESOL CostaRica.com. Mention this ad when you enroll and receive $50 off your tuition. Enroll with a friend and receive $100 off. The world is waiting for you, and Global TESOL College is your ticket.
From China's Great Wall to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
Welcome once again to Columbia Calling with your host Richard McCall here in Bogota, Colombia, the capital of Colombia. Today we've got an interesting show. We're talking all things Colombian, but we're also going to talk about the strikes that have been gripping this nation for the last couple of weeks. And then later on in the show, I introduced two Englishmen, Tim Woodhouse and Milo Butterick, who gave up everything. Good careers in the United Kingdom to come over and set up shop in an intermediary city called Bucaramanga. For those of you who do not know that, Bucaramanga is in Santander, a department in the middle of the country, beautiful, very agricultural, great for extreme sports, wonderful climate, and the city has a very university vibe, lots of students. Anyway, these guys are running a hostel called the Casa Juane Bucaramanga, highly recommended if you're coming to Colombia. So that's my pitch for them. But I think more importantly, rather than just be hosteliers, they are applying the knowledge that they have let's say, acquired over all of these years in the United Kingdom. These are young guys, and have set up a foundation called Goles por la Paz, Goals for Peace, where they are now training people from children from more humble backgrounds in Bucaramanga, training them in football, but at the same time, this allows them to educate these children in morals and in leadership skills and companionship and so on. And so it's very exciting to hear of these two young men contributing to Colombian society. So don't go away. Do listen to this show, because you've got two people from different backgrounds, from south of London and from Leeds, more in the north of the United Kingdom, who, you know, took the time to think about it and explained their reasons and have come over and have been over here for quite some time now and are really making a go of it. And so this is the type of person that we're always trying to get on the show here. So before I go any further, these guys will be introduced in the second segment, and there will be several segments with them, as is the custom on this show. But we need to discuss what has been going on in Colombia. And of course, the most important thing is that for 2 weeks there have been nationwide strikes in the countryside by farmers. Now, farmers make up 60% of Colombia's workforce. They are the spine of the country. This is an agricultural country. Anyway, with all the free trade agreements being signed left, right, and center by the Colombian government, by Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos, these farmers feel as if they're being edged out of the market by cheaper imports and not receiving the subsidies that have been promised. So they've been blocking the roads, and in particular in the region of Boyacá and Córdoba a little bit, and Santander a little bit, and in the south in Putumayo. But anyway, you've got around 30 of the highways that were blocked. Right now the situation is calming down a little bit, but you've got around 30 of the highways blocked, so people can't travel. Even airlines are reassigning flights for travelers at no penalty cost, because, of course, you know, how can they charge? It's out of our hands. This is a nationwide strike. And marches have been taking place in Bogota. And really, the escalation point, the tipping point for these marches was more or less the government of Juan Manuel Santos, and Juan Manuel Santos himself saying that this strike really didn't exist. And of course, it's a strike where you're getting all sectors of Colombian society supporting it. Colombians understand that the countryside is very important. And of course, so you've got the rich, the middle class, and lower class all supporting the strikes. And then you've got this very well-educated from the upper echelons of Colombian society claiming that it doesn't exist. So, of course, this created a vacuum of violence. And, we had marches that started off this last week, very peacefully. And, of course, like always here, taken over by militant members of either student groups or infiltrated groups. Now, the government has tried to make a scapegoat of the FARC guerrillas, but I don't think anyone's really, taking that bait. And then, of course, the more other people are trying to make a scapegoat, saying the government have infiltrated the marches from the other side. So who really knows what's going on? Anyway, you get these sort of, young militants throwing paint against banks, kicking down Transmilenio stations, throwing rocks and attacking the police, and of course then the riot police have to come out and they're firing tear gas, and then the local people are suffering. Anyway, it's the center of Bogota last week was turned into a battleground, and we do not condone this type of violence. Democratic expression through protest marches that are peaceful is absolutely fine, and we wholeheartedly here at Colombia Calling support the farmers in their struggle for a more dignified existence than they have at the moment. So anyway, you can see on my blog, that's www.richardmccoll.com, you can see photos that I took of the aftermath of the riots, because they were riots, and then when Bogota subsequently was militarized on last Friday, Juan Manuel Santos, the president's reaction was to militarize the city. So even in my barrio, which is a relatively sedate barrio called Chapinero, we had soldiers up and down the streets paroling, and my wife said it reminded her of where she grew up, many years ago when it would get caliente, as in like there were attacks from the guerrillas or something like that, and the military would be patrolling the streets. So that was happening in the center of Bogota last week. There were deaths, unfortunately, and many injured, and millions upon millions of pesos of expenses, of costs. Buses were full as people tried to get out of the center. The traffic was awful. People were obviously suffering from the side effects, the after effects of tear gas. So anyway, it was not a good scene. So that is what has been happening in Bogota and in Medellin and in other cities around Colombia this week. The government supposedly is reaching some sort of agreement with the farmers as I'm speaking. We hope that it's a lasting, durable agreement that provides them with the appropriate instruments and economic resources to enable them to continue to work as they do. That's all we have to say about it. Even when I was in a taxi going into the center of town trying to interview the mayor, you watch this space. I'm supposed to be interviewing the mayor of Bogota at some point, but he was indignant. He hated the mayor. He hated the president. He had vitriol for everyone, but he was in support of the farmers. And that's pretty much where everyone stands in this one. So what else is going on, aside from this horrible, violent vandalism that's going on in Bogota? Well, we had a big announcement that sort of fell by the wayside because of all the other problems. Starbucks is coming to Colombia. Now, you always wonder why Starbucks would try and make, breach the Colombian market. We have OMA and we have Juan Valdez, and Colombians are incredibly house proud. So don't expect too many Colombians to frequent Starbucks. I sort of half expect, homesick American exchange students, but that's about it. Starbucks is coming to Colombia, such as globalization. So there we are. This is what's happening in Colombia. Don't go away. We'll be talking to Tim and Milo of Goles por la Paz, Goals for Peace, this great foundation, a great idea that they came up with and are running. And I believe they've got more than 70 children enrolled now in Bucaramanga. So you're listening to Colombia Calling. I am your host, Richard McCall. We are here in Bogota. Don't go away. Thank you.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
This tree was never chopped down because this crutch never needed to be carved. Because these legs never grew weak. Because this child never got polio. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Now we are on the brink of eradicating this crippling disease once and for all. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to make sure vaccines reach the people who need it, to protect the children of the world against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary, humanity in motion.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. As always, we're here talking to notable people doing things in Columbia. And this week I've got two English gentlemen on the show, Tim Woodhouse and Milo Butterick, who gave up everything in England to come and live in Bucaramanga, Santander, Colombia. Bucaramanga being an intermediary city, sort of midway between Bogota and the north coast, the Caribbean coast. And these guys, I guess, sort of signed up and took over a hostel called the Casa Juane Bucaramanga. Milo, Tim, welcome.
Hi, thanks very much, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
Now, tell me a bit about yourselves, guys. What did you do in the UK? What did you guys do in the UK that you gave up so readily to come out and live in Colombia?
Well, the last job that I did in the UK before coming out was working for DEFRA, the Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, and as an economist. And before that, I was at another department. So my job was relatively formal, kind of suit and tie in the office. And although it had good career prospects and part of it was interesting, I personally found myself a little bit bored in the office. And having traveled to Colombia, it was always a dream to come out and live and do a bigger project.
Wow. So you're an economist now living in Santander. And it's quite a big step. And Tim?
I'd always worked for charities, really. The charity I was working for before I came to Colombia was a debt advice charity. So it's putting together debt plans and advising people on how to get out of debt, which obviously there was quite a lot of work at that time.
Well, I can imagine in the economic crisis that you were very busy.
Yeah, no, it was really growing, but it was quite stressful work to do from the point of working in the office and dealing with people that had problems every day. So, yeah, I also came to Colombia traveling and just really liked the country and came back and kind of, similar to Milo, got a bit disenchanted with the office and wanted to try something different.
Well, you guys have certainly tried something different. I mean, you've given up careers. I mean, to come out to Colombia, you came out here traveling, I guess, just taking a break from being an economist or a break from dealing with other people's problems every day, like Tim was, and somehow you met traveling and you hit off a friendship. But how did you end up in Bucaramanga with a business there?
I first came to Bucaramanga. I was up in Santa Marta on the coast. And I'd been to quite a lot of the big cities in Colombia already and was kind of looking for somewhere new to go. I actually found a business card for Casa Juane. Just liked the look of it. It seemed like the card said there was universities, nice climate, a growing city. So I thought it'd be nice to come down and check it out. And just from the minute that I arrived, just got a really nice feel for the city. I think I stayed for 2 weeks the first time and just really enjoyed it. Really nice weather, nice people. And kind of left Colombia still thinking about Bucaramanga. And the idea was always to try and open a hostel or get into working with hostels in Colombia. From the business side, there was only one hostel, which was Casa Juane in Bucaramanga. So it just seemed kind of from the lifestyle side and also from the business side, it seemed quite an attractive place.
Fantastic. Milo, you're the same story or different?
Pretty similar. Tim had actually been here before me because he arrived in Colombia before me. And when we'd been traveling around, we met and traveled for a bit. And he said, oh, Bucaramanga's a great place. We should check it out. I think we'd just been in Barranquilla for the carnival. So we were kind of up this way and coming back south to Bogota. And we thought, hey, let's pop through Bucaramanga. And I, like Tim, got him and was like, wow, this is exactly the kind of place that I'd want to live. It's an amazing climate, not too big, not too small. It feels kind of youthful because there's lots of universities about. There's decent events going on and music events and stuff like that. So it just felt like the place to come back and live.
No, it's interesting. So you've come to, like you say, a city that's not too big, not too small. I've been to Bucaramanga on several occasions. It's always been a city that is, it isn't a very attractive city. I think they call it the city of parks, don't they? Many parks.
But its two nicknames are La Ciudad Bonita and La Ciudad de los Parques.
Okay, so the pretty city. Or the city. But so, I mean, where are you guys from in the UK? To settle down in a smaller Colombian city, I mean, it's a big step. So, I mean, where do you guys come from originally?
I was born and bred in South London, so I was used to big cities and lots of people and lots of traffic, and that's what I've grown up around. I went to university on the South Coast in Brighton and really enjoyed that time. And I think I then went back to London to work in the civil service, and taking the underground every single morning with its squash of people and the pollution and the kind of unpleasantness of that daily journey was definitely one of my motivators to kind of make a change and do something that I thought could be much more interesting and develop me much more as a person.
Yes. And Tim, you've got an accent that's quite distinctive. Where are you from?
Yeah, hopefully people can understand it. But yeah, I'm from Leeds, grew up in Leeds and then studied in Newcastle.
You're all from cities, but you know, it's a big change. What the listeners like hearing about is people making this change, a lifestyle change, which I think is more common, you know, today where you, it's not unusual to give up a career and change your path because, you know, you want a different quality of life.
I think as well, when kind of our generation, when I was younger, I spent a lot of money on kind of cheap flights to Europe, going to kind of Spain and Holland and countries like that. So maybe just being a little bit more used to traveling from when we were younger and meeting people from all over the world, and you realize that actually it's not too difficult to go to other countries and do interesting projects, you know?
Yeah.
I've always thought from my point of view that lots of people, they're born, they go to school and they grow up and then get a job in a very small part of the country even. I know friends of mine that are born and bred in London and schooled there and that's where they have their jobs. And to me, that almost seems strange, having traveled a bit of the world and seeing not that much of it, but it still seems to me, if you look at the world map, to spend your whole life in such a small place, you know, a pinprick in the map, to me seems a little strange. And to go further and spend a bit of time away seems kind of a logical option in some ways.
And not only a pinprick on the map, but, you know, our island from which we hail is pretty small on the map as well.
Yeah.
It's true. Very interesting. Very interesting, this indeed. And so now you've got this hostel, the Casa Juane Bucaramanga. What type of people are rocking up to stay with you there?
We're getting people from all over the world, obviously, with the backpackers that are coming to Colombia. And there's a lot more people seem to be coming and enjoying the country, getting a lot of people that are coming back for a second or third time. I think we're finding that you get more people that are coming for maybe a shorter holiday. It's a bit more accessible and people feel a bit more comfortable coming to Colombia now. But at Casa Juane, we really like to promote the Colombian mix as well. So we have a lot of Colombian students that stay in the hostel, people that are coming maybe if they've got work events or a range of reasons, but we really like to promote the mix of the backpackers and the Colombians. And I think it's really popular with the guests because they get to meet people from the city or from the country, which is a lot of people travel, you know, for that reason. And then also for the Colombians to meet people from all over the world that they may not have the opportunity to meet in other circumstances. So that works really well for us. We've never had any problems and, you know, it's something that we always try to promote in Casa Juane.
Yeah, I'd maybe just add to that and say that from my point of view, it's not that long a time period, but I was first here in 2008. And I think I've noticed a bit of the change from kind of your maybe kind of more hardcore backpackers on a longer 3 to 6 month up to a year traveling around South America. So now we get more people passing through that are in Colombia for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and it's the only destination that they're coming to on their holiday. And that for me, obviously we like backpackers as well, but that kind of growing market I think could be really beneficial to Colombia as well.
I think you're touching on something very important there. I think it is changing. I mean, because Colombia, well, I mean, up to a point is still a specialist destination, but you're getting more and more people coming out just to on holiday to Colombia as opposed to the war weary long term backpackers who've been on the road for 8 months plus, you know, who are unfazed by anything, don't worry about anything and quibble perhaps over the cost of a beer in the hostel. But you're getting people who are coming out for 2 weeks and looking for those experiences like the ones that you're offering, I guess, there, you know, ensuring the mix with the locals.
Yeah. And people also that are coming back every year, that are choosing to take their yearly holiday in Colombia. which is really nice for us. You know, we can be sitting at the reception and then in through the door walks someone that stayed the year before, you know. So the fact that people are coming back is really nice for us as well.
Do you remember their names?
Yeah, I'd say there's one recently, a guy, Kevin, who works on oil rigs in Scotland, and he comes through for his summer holidays. So, yeah, no, it's kind of nice.
Ryan, the Venezuelan dude, was back last week.
Yeah,
as well.
Ryan came back last week.
That makes it very special with the repeat visitors. It means you're doing something right, obviously. I mean, people, you're paying all this money to get back to Colombia, because, of course, it's not a budget destination.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And also, we always try to kind of improve the hostel, and we're always making changes in the hostel. So for these people that kind of see that process and come back and say, oh, well, it's nice, the changes you've made to the bar or the changes you've made to the hostel, that they kind of notice and appreciate, it's nice as well.
Yeah, that's definitely important, that they can see this progress and that you're not just resting on your laurels.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's always things to improve in the hostel.
Always.
Always money to be spent.
Anyway, so that's, yeah. So what can you say to me then, if I had come last year, and what has been updated since last year to this year, just to give our listeners an idea?
To be honest, there's been an absolute raft of things. We've put in two new bathrooms. There's now private rooms that have got bathrooms that didn't before, because we had so much demand for people wanting private rooms with bathrooms, so we made that change. All the dormitories had the beds painted in the colours of the Colombian flag, because we love those bright colours, and they made the dorms look really bright and lively. Up on the top floor, we've extended the terrace, so you can now use another kind of 10-15 metres squared of the hostel that you couldn't before. And this Sunday, we begin building a small kind of cafe, more than a restaurant, kind of paninis and juices in the daytime to offer for our guests and the Colombians that pass through, some of our friends in the city. Any more changes, Tim?
I think the big one, we got Wi-Fi in the whole house, which saved people huddling in the reception.
Yeah.
Can now enjoy Wi-Fi wherever they are in the house. Yeah, general kind of little touches, nice new plants in the place. We're trying to grow some herbs and chilies and things like that. For the guests to use in the kitchen. But yeah, no, I think the bar, when we do the next phase of renovations, we'll probably be quite comfortable with things. But we always like to change the kind of information, the posters, make sure that things are looking fresh.
Yeah. And it sounds like you guys are never stopping, but don't lose this inspiration. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. You're listening to Colombia Calling, and you're listening to Milo and Tim, two English guys who've taken over a hostel in Bucaramanga, an intermediary city here in Colombia, and are doing all sorts of things to promote tourism in the country, but they have other projects, and in the following segment we're going to talk about that. Don't go away.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You're thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSAnow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSAnow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSAnow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSAnow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall, radioing in from Bogota. And today we are talking to two young men in Bucaramanga, two Englishmen who've gave up everything and moved out to the central Colombia, surrounded by mountains, green fields, beautiful place. And they've taken over this hostel, the Casa Juane Bucaramanga, the only hostel in town, I believe, but they're making a real success of it, and we've been talking about why they moved out, the quality of life and issues such as that, so pertinent today, and of course how to create a successful hostel, and one of the secrets is, you know, never to rest in your laurels and to keep improving so that repeat visitors actually get to see, you know, that you're making progress and that things are moving on, and yes, the hostel is a place that people want to return to. But if I were a tourist then, Tim, Milo, if I were a tourist and you were trying to, you know, sort of snare me and get me to come to Bucaramanga, how would you promote the city to me?
Well, we always start with the fact that it's a young, vibrant, growing city, because you feel that when you're in Bucaramanga. I think it's one of the fastest growing cities in Latin America, not just Colombia. So we start with the youth and the vibrance. The amazing climate's also got to be mentioned, because it's a reason that we both chose to live here. Every day is like an English summer, which, as an Englishman used to winter most of the year, is definitely a positive change. It's also a good place to learn things. Here there's parapenting, which is run by our socio Richie, who opened Casa Guane. So you can actually learn to fly in Bucaramanga. There's a friend of ours, Martin, with his salsa school, so you can learn to dance salsa, which people love to do. It's something I've done, and as an Englishman, being told to move your hips more and more is always fun. And you can learn rock climbing. There's great things in and around the city. It's the canyon, the Chicamocha, and beautiful scenery in and around the city. So I'd say those are the first things that we've mentioned.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of activities. I mean, obviously, it's quite a good-sized city, so it's got all the kind of shopping centres and all the things that you'd expect from a modern city. But there's also quite a lot of things going on. The city's growing fast, like Milo said. There's a lot of universities, so there's a lot of kind of free music events, theatre things going on. And with the hostel and the kind of link to the Colombians that we have in the city, that's one of the things that we really try to do. Is to connect people with the city. Today, for example, we've got it's called the Mercadillo Bohemio. So it's a market in a university with free music, there's food stalls, arts and crafts and things like that. So, yeah, there's kind of the set things like the paragliding, you've got the rock climbing, Chicamocha Canyon, horse riding, the kind of common activities that a lot of places offer, but also the kind of energy and the feeling that's going on in the city at the moment is really nice and really positive. So we're really trying to kind of connect with that. And that's one thing that we really like about the hostel. We've talked about connecting the guests before, but it kind of just means that everybody wins. The events that are happening in the city have more support because the backpackers are maybe making up the numbers a bit. And the backpackers are getting to see really interesting free salsa events, traditional folk music, things that they might not be getting to see sitting on a beach or you know, in the nightclubs of Bogota. So there's a lot happening, and it's a nice time for us to be here.
I think this is very, you know, your positive, it's very, very positive what you're talking about, and it comes across in this chat that we're having here on the radio, that you really are, you guys are plugged into local society. You're not just your own little group of expats sitting there in Bucaramanga as economic refugees, deciding that you just didn't want to be in the UK paying extortionately high taxes. You're showing us that it is possible to go out there, make a new life, and be active participants in a culture that is not your own, but is now that you have completely adopted.
I think it's one thing when we were both travelling, one of the reasons that we probably stuck together and did this project, having really just met as travellers with similar ideas, is the energy that we felt from the Colombian people. Every place you went to, there's great people with great stories, and they're all willing to share either a coffee or a bottle of agua diente and have a dance, and the country really does have a passion, and that means that when we were here first in 2008 travelling, we both made individual friends with different people, and you come back and those same people are here. So a lot of, you know, we've got friends that are doing really interesting things, music producers and putting on art events. And it's because of those contacts in the city that we've got links to the events that are going on, and we can send our, send the guests from the hostel there. And as Tim was saying, it's a complete win-win because they're getting more people and the guests have got more things to do. But I'd personally put that down to the generosity and the openness of the Colombian people from the first day I've stepped into this country that's meant that those relationships have been easy to make.
And you know, also, I don't, you know, it's not something that happens overnight. It's when we first arrived, it wasn't all easy, you know. And like you said, we did risk everything and leave our careers. And there are points where you sometimes think, God, you know, what have we done? But slowly and surely you make good relationships and you keep doing what you think's right. And, you know, people start to warm to it a bit more and you feel a bit more comfortable with the city. And generally things just start improving and feeling a bit more positive. So, you know, if we maybe had this interview 18 months ago, it might have been a bit different. But the position we're in now is really positive, yeah.
And something I probably glossed over since the very beginning of this interview is, you know, when you decided to sort of throw it all in back in the UK and said to your parents, your individual parents, no, mum, dad, I'm moving to Colombia. What were their reactions?
From my point of view, I think I'd always been in bits of trouble through school and stuff. I wasn't maybe the best behaved child, and I went through and got my master's in economics and then settled with the job in the civil service. And I think my parents were very happy that I'd got a job that looked kind of stable and was settled down. So the initial reaction of that I wanted to move away and do something a little bit more adventurous. You know, they did say, are you sure you want to do this? You've got a really good future in your job. This kind of, from a parent's point of view, looks like, you know, the sensible thing would be to stay in England. But I, you know, spoke to them that, you know, maybe the sensible thing wasn't what I wanted and I thought I could challenge myself more out here. And ultimately, you know, your parents, you know, hopefully most of the time are going to back you as a child. And, you know, eventually they said, look, if it's what you really want to do, then obviously we'll, you know, we're not going to make it difficult for you. But they did at the first, you know, kind of say to me, are you sure you're making the right decision? Are you sure this isn't just chasing a dream and all the rest of it? But once they could see that it was serious and I had, you know, projects to do, I wasn't just coming over to do more backpacking for another year or two. It was to really settle down and do a business and a foundation and do a couple of interesting things. So that, I think that reassured them.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think it's similar for me, Richard, really. I think once they saw that we were kind of serious and, you know, we planned it probably for a year and a half back in England before we made the move. So obviously through that process, there's quite a few challenges getting the visas and various other things. And maybe once they saw that, you know, we were kind of capable to get those things sorted and that we were actually serious about doing it. I think, yeah, no, they've been really supportive.
And have they been out to visit you?
Yeah, they have actually. Yeah, my parents came last May, spent quite a bit of time in Bucaramanga. Then we went to kind of Sand Hill, Barichara, up to the coast for a bit. So, yeah, it was really nice for them to kind of be able to see the reality of what we're doing and meet our friends and meet our staff and, you know, kind of get involved with what we're doing for a month. So it's really nice.
Yeah, and from my point of view, my dad and my sister have both come out. My mum's not so keen on flying, but I think she should come out one day. But they both really loved it, as I think most people do when they come to Colombia. You know, it's physically a beautiful country and so many good places. And hopefully with me as a guide to pick out the better spots, they both had a wonderful time.
Now, Milo, you mentioned something, or was it Tim, mentioned something in your last sort of spiel there was, the paperwork. You said, you know, it took time to get the visas and stuff. What, you know, if you're talking to someone over there who's listening out there today to this show and who wants to come out to Colombia and is worried about the paperwork, how are you going to reassure them?
Well, sorry, go on, Tim.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just relax, I think it's the main thing. If, you know, it's not the same country, it's not the same culture. And sometimes that can be frustrating, but it's also, you know, one of the reasons that we're in the country in the first place. So it's easy to get frustrated and you may think that you want things to be moving at the pace that you would be working back home. But just try to relax into it and just enjoy it and do the next step. And then slowly but surely you start ticking the things off your list and you start to progress. But just takes a little time just to adjust to the different ways of working, I think.
I'd agree with that, definitely. You can find yourself getting very frustrated. I'd also say that we were lucky because we had a friend called Jose who we met when we were first out here who studied a bit of law, and he helped us through the visa route. And also, I have to say, the Colombian consulate in London was really useful, really nice. I can't remember her name. I think it might have been Nancy.
Yeah, but anyway, Nancy.
I think it was Nancy, a really nice woman there who helped us out a lot. So in terms of the visas and stuff, that was doing your research okay and making sure you speak to the right people. once you're here in Colombia, things kind of do take a bit of time in setting up the bank accounts, registering your businesses. But as Tim said, you just got to adapt. And I think patience is one of the things that I've definitely learned whilst being out here. And patience is a virtue.
But I can hear it in both of your voices. You've certainly adopted a more laid-back attitude than perhaps you would have had in the UK towards everything and towards life. I can hear it there. You say, yeah, you know, take it easy, be calm, don't lose your temper when you're talking to someone in some sort of bureaucratic role. And it's very important, that.
Yeah, no, I think it is the kind of subtle touches, you know, and you may feel like you're not getting any results for a while and you can't see the kind of fruits of your labour being patient, but slowly but surely you will start getting there. And then there's a lot of things that you only have to do once, you know. Once you've opened your bank account, you can almost forget about it. So, you know, although it seems a bit daunting or very daunting at the beginning, once you get your core things sorted, it does get easier.
And of course, as you're saying, you know, you wanted to come and live here, so you're prepared for anything. You're prepared to take on these obstacles. Now, we're gonna take a short break right now, but when we come back, we're gonna talk all about your foundation there, Goles por la Paz, Goals for Peace, and we're gonna talk to you about how you launched this project and to whom it is directed and what you're hoping to do. So, don't go away, listeners. This is you're talking to Tim and Milo, and I'm your host, Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
You've decided that you want to move overseas for that quality of life experience you've always dreamed of. But you don't want to give up the best of back home. We agree. Things like high-speed internet, safe neighborhoods where you can stroll along a shaded sidewalk, a place where you know your neighbors and you have friends close by. These are important. Grand Pacifica Beach and Golf Resort gives you the best comforts of back home paired with the exceptional lifestyle only available south of the border. Imagine strolling along over 3 miles of secluded beach, playing a round of golf along the ocean, surfing a world-class break all the yourself, enjoying a fine meal on your balcony and toasting to another spectacular sunset. All this and more can be yours only an hour from Managua. Complete home and lot packages start under $100,000, and a nice home on the golf course is yours for the mid-twos. Come visit for a weekend and enjoy our oceanside golf course. Ride horseback on the beach, meet your future neighbors, and make some new friends. Grand Pacifica may be a place you'd like to call home. For more information, email Mike at mikesgringolife.com. That's Mike at mikesgringolife.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable health care, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.JustLanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's JustLanded.com.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, your host. I'm talking to Milo Butterick and Tim Woodhouse, UK citizens living in Bucaramanga, an intermediary city here in Colombia. They've taken on a hostel, which is very popular, the most popular hostel I know of in Bucaramanga, the Casa Juane Bucaramanga. But, you know, as we try every week here at Columbia Calling, we try and get people on who are doing things, who are making it happen here in Colombia, who are contributing to Colombian society. And Tim and Milo have created a foundation that's called Goles por la Paz, Goals for Peace. Tell me all about it.
It's something that's really been happening since me and Milo first arrived in Colombia, or since we kind of met up and obviously both had kind of similar ideas and similar plans. We both travelled a lot in Colombia, stayed in a lot of hostels, met a lot of interesting people. There weren't hugely accessible options to get involved in volunteering. and kind of helping out the country and connecting with the people of the country. So we kind of were thinking that we wanted to open a hostel. We didn't really want to go down the kind of party hostel route. We were more interested in doing something a bit more productive. And the way that we thought we could link that well was to do it with the hostel and the volunteers being guests from the hostel. So that was kind of the general idea, and that kind of changed slightly along the way. So yeah, Milo, I don't know if you want to just explain the second phase.
Well, yeah, I'd say that we met with those similar ideas, and one, for me, a big inspiration was when we went to a foundation called Tiempo de Juego in Bogota, the same Jose that I mentioned before that helped us for the visas, introduced us to the founder, who was called Andres Weisner, and we went along for a day to visit that project in Casuca, which is one of the poorest areas in Bogota. And that was a real eye-opener, because for me, we'd always thought of doing something, and I wanted to kind of get involved in projects and set them up and help trying to do this kind of idea of positive tourism and get other people involved. And going to see this project, it was just, wow, this is exactly what we could do. It was football training, but using that as the basis to bring the kids in and kind of, you know, teach them more about morals, respect, and use the football really just to bring them in and then teach them many more things when they're there. And that model seemed like we could do it in Bucaramanga.
And it had fit well with the hostel. Tiempo de Juego was amazing. I think they're managing about 800 kids a week. So it was really inspirational. But we also saw that they weren't linked in any way to kind of backpackers or tourism. So it kind of gave us a little bit more of an initiative to get working on it, really. So we came back to Bucaramanga. Obviously, with the hostel and the paperwork, like we talked about, it took a long time, so we didn't really start for maybe 6 months. And then through a friend of Milo, we were introduced to a guy that was doing some really basic training, football training in the north of Bucaramanga, in quite a poor area there, with just basic materials and I think maybe 10 or 15 kids. So we kind of got introduced to this guy, a guy called Willington, who we're now working with. He's one of the socios of the project. And yeah, we basically just started talking to him, and he was keen to work with us and we were keen to work with him. So it was on the 27th of October. There was the Global Peace Games, which is an international celebration of sport and peace. And that's actually run or created by FIFA and the United Nations. So we kind of used that day to launch our project. So we did a day of kind of football and values and looking at how we can use sport to kind of improve people's situations. So that was what we used to launch the project under that day with FIFA and the United Nations.
And very good. Now, and how many children do you involve in this project, Goles por la Paz?
We started growing from, I think, about 20 kids on the first day. And last weekend there were 72.
72 children.
72, yeah. It's getting pretty hectic at the moment because there's a lot of kids. And to give people a bit an idea of what it is, we get down there at 9 o'clock and there's a salon comunal, which is the kind of the communal area room of the barrio, the neighborhood we're in. We have a small chat about the rules and how we want people to behave and to treat each other with respect. And then we usually divide the kids in two groups and take half of them down to a football pitch to do training, while the other half are doing hopefully an activity that's a bit more based around a value or trying to learn something.
And you found that they're obviously, I mean, if you've increased from 20 to 72, people are catching on. I mean, the word is out. People want to be involved.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, every week we're getting new children coming, and it's kind of the things that we're offering the kids to do is getting kind of more variety as well. So in the beginning we started with the football. Now we've kind of got other activities like slackline, the kind of climbing rope between the two trees, doing frisbee and things like that. So it's really improving in terms of what we're offering the kids, how many kids are coming. But one of the big things, which is something that we want to continue ensuring that we're kind of strong in this side, is the volunteers. Obviously, if we've got 72 children, it's really important that we've got a good number of volunteers to support that, you know. And the last couple of months, from guests and people in the city, we really feel like the support's kind of picked up a bit. So yeah, just on the levels of the kids that are coming and also the people that are helping out, you know, it's not something that we can do by ourselves. It's not something that we want to or ever plan to do. It's something that's inclusive and really about linking people together.
Yeah, I just want to interrupt then. So someone's out there listening to you right now. How can they get involved to come down and volunteer?
I'd say the best thing to do is to email us through goalsforpeace@gmail.com. So that's the email, goalsforpeace@gmail.com.
It's goalsforpeacebookeramanga@gmail.com. Sorry, mate. but yeah, just so they've got the right one. And also through the hostel website as well, we've got quite a bit of information. So if people want to go to www.casa with a K and then Guane, which is GUANE.com. And there's a lot more information about the project. And you can send us a message through there as well if you want to get in touch. Any questions at all, or, you know, if you know anyone that can help us out, just get in touch.
And, is there a minimum stay requirement?
No, it's not so linked to the staying in the hostel in that sense. You wouldn't have to stay for a certain amount of time. Obviously, we like the doors to be open to pretty much everyone. So, maybe a certain bit of profiling of bringing the right person. But up to today, everyone that's approached us and has wanted to come to the event has been a perfect person. So many people have got talents when they're traveling, and we've had German teachers, we've had Koreans, we've had Chinese down there drawing, you know, their national alphabet for the kids, which they're fascinated in. So there's almost always a good reason to take someone.
Yeah, the idea of the volunteering as well from the beginning was we're not charging people to come and do volunteering placements. There's quite a lot of projects where you can spend a lot of money volunteering, but for us really it's just come and stay at the hostel. We go there every Saturday morning, and if you want to come along, you're more than welcome.
Very good. Now, and also, you are a charity. Do you take donations?
Yeah, we do. I mean, the paperwork for that is still ongoing a little bit, just because it's slightly complicated to get all the accountancy with the amount of money that we're managing at the moment. So we're just trying to find a solution at the moment. That should be sorted for next week. But yeah, we're receiving donations in the very near future.
All right, so anyone out there listening who wants to volunteer in Bucaramanga, a very nicely contained, very agreeable city within Colombia, and wants to volunteer helping children, I don't know, playing football or soccer if you're in the United States, or playing frisbee or the climbing wall or whatever, you know, basically getting involved with the kids in this humble region of Bucaramanga, get in touch with Tim and Milo at the Casa Juane in Bucaramanga through their website, which is, I think you said it, casajuane.com?
Yeah. Yep.
And so get in touch with them there and find out what you can do. I mean, this is so important today. I think, you know, with the hand that some of our generation have been dealt due to sort of economic problems and whatever's going on in the world, I think you see more people of your generation being altruistic and wanting to change their lifestyles and wanting to give something back. So I would imagine this is only going to grow there in Bucaramanga. I imagine that your project is picking up quite a lot of interest from the locals.
Yeah, from the locals as well, from the locals, and also for people visiting Bucaramanga. We're also getting a lot of emails through our website from people in the United States and Europe that have found us online. But that's one of the things in the future. We've got links. One of the people that set up Goals for Peace on an international level, they're also doing some work in the Philippines, a guy called Alexander Cardenas, who's a Colombian. So there's another kind of angle which we want to bring in the future. Actually, my father is also involved. He's a professor of conflict resolution. So there's an academic side which we're looking to bring in the future for kind of the evaluation of the project, maybe to help with future funding. And that's where we're looking to bring students and academics to come and actually study and evaluate the project. So, yeah, I mean, with these things, obviously you can't do everything at once, and it's important.
It's a long-term project.
Exactly. And the most important thing is good relations with the people from the barrio that we're working in, that they feel empowered and that, you know, they're making decisions and directing the project just as much as we are. But, yeah, that is, it's an angle that we're looking forward to bringing in a bit more in the future as well.
Well, I've checked out your Facebook page. I've looked at the Goles por la Paz on Facebook, which is very easy to find for those of you out there. And you've got lots of pictures of the kids, and they just look like they're having so much fun. I mean, that's what's really endearing, you know?
Yeah, I think someone said that, actually. We had Vanguardia, which is a paper from Bucaramanga, come down and take some photos. And the journalist came to an interview with us afterwards, and they said, you know, they knew the area where we're from, and it's an area with lots of, you know, lots of challenging situations, and there's not so much money in that area, some people living in some fairly basic conditions. But she said all she saw in the photos was smiling kids. And that was, you know, for us a great thing, because hopefully that's what we want, that they... The kids at least are enjoying themselves for 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday. That's the key aim. With the ones that are older than 11, that's when we can start doing a bit more things with the, you know, the football training. You can take a bit more seriously. You can also start doing some presentations about moral values and why it's important to concentrate and be disciplined. So yeah, the step one's having fun. So it's great to hear that you saw that as well.
It's an interesting situation, and soon you're going to unearth the next Falcao.
We could, let's hope so. There's a couple of kids with some real talent down there. So yeah, we're just about to step up and put them into tournaments. Even though the foundation's been running for 9 months and the kids are desperate to be in tournaments, it's the thing that we actually need to have them all registered with their ID numbers to enter tournaments. But that's something again that's coming in the next few weeks, that we'll enter them in tournaments, and then we'll see where the Falcao is.
So I mean, that is another thing that. Obviously, it is just about enjoying it, and you know, it's not necessarily about winning all the cups and the leagues. But at the same time, there are some really good players within the team. So yeah, hopefully we can develop them, see where we can train them up to.
Well, I've got two final things before we sign off here. And one of my things is you sound so busy. When do you guys get to relax?
I don't know if there's a huge amount of time where we do relax, but I think the thing is that we found different is that when you're working for things that you want to be doing, and when you're your own boss, and when the things that you're doing, you enjoy them and they kind of interlink, it doesn't feel too much like the 9-to-5 slogging through your day watching your clock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I think definitely from my point of view, it's... you know, used to work a 9-to-5, but you enter the office and then you leave the office and pretty much switch off. Whereas here, that hasn't been the case. We do much longer hours in the day. And even when you finish working, you're in bed thinking about, well, you know, what could we do here? What could we do there? And it does, in some ways, it never stops. But it's so much better doing something that never stops, that seems exciting, and that there's always more possibilities, more opportunities to do stuff than working maybe less hours, but it seems that's so much more effort.
And finally, this is a question I'm going to put to both of you, and it's a one-word answer. Would you move back to the UK?
No way.
I'd say yes at some point in my life, but right now, no.
Right now, you're in the right place.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, listen, Tim and Milo, thank you very much for your time. I'm hoping that we can drive some more traffic towards you, hopefully some volunteers that will come out and spend some time, and that your projects continue to flourish. And it's excellent to hear from you, and it's such a great policy that you've got towards tourism and towards the town that has taken you in, really. And so, again, thank you very much. To Tim Woodhouse and Milo Buttrick. You've been listening to Richard McCall on Columbia Calling. Don't go away. Come back and download the podcast if you've missed them. We've got plenty of people interviewed. We've got plenty of people lined up for the future, always doing interesting things here at Team Columbia.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.